Greetings to each of you in the precious name of Jesus, the one who was willing to come and to give his life for you and I, so we could have salvation, so we could have a right relationship with God and experience forgiveness of our sin. It's good to be here and to share in communion. As I contemplated what to talk about or what to preach on, I sought the face of God. There was something that had come, thought that had come through me during the week, and it kept coming back. It felt dark. It felt like a dark subject. But yet, I felt led that this is what God wanted me to preach on. So the title of the message is simply this: Scenes of Darkness Surrounding the Crucifixion. Scenes of Darkness Surrounding the Crucifixion. For a text verse, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and I want to read verses 52 to 53. And notice what Jesus says here. We'll be looking at different accounts, referring to different accounts in different of the Gospels as we move through the message. Luke 22, and I want to read verse 52 and 53. This is in the garden. The band of soldiers have come. We don't know how many there are of a cohort, or a band is a cohort, and I'm told there are around 600 in a cohort. I don't know if they all were present or not, but there's a band of soldiers. And here's Jesus. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, "Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves." Is a question. "When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." This is your hour and the power of darkness. The Bible account of the circumstances surrounding Jesus' arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion give recognition to dark times. While on one hand, the events surrounding the arrest and death of Jesus were very dark, it was through these experiences that the scripture was fulfilled. Scripture was fulfilled time and time again. The gospel accounts will give account to Old Testament prophecies, and thus it must be that the scripture be fulfilled. And the way of redemption was finished, the death and resurrection. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, the ransom was paid for the salvation of mankind. No more was man subject to the bondage of the Mosaic law and all that was pertained to it. Through faith and belief in Jesus Christ, man can be made free from sin and alive unto God. And that's the bright side of this darkness. Think in your own minds. I'm not going to do a lot of contrasting, but think in your own minds this morning of the contrast of the darkness of this hour and the brightness of what was taking place in its beauty and its glory and splendor. But there was darkness. I would like to consider four scenes of darkness surrounding these events that Jesus subjected himself to. And It's another point that I would like for us to have impressed in our mind is that Jesus, the Son of God, subjected himself to, surrendered to. We think of the cruel treatment. Just a little note, Matthew chapter 6, the latter part of verse 23, Jesus is teaching, and he teaches us that if the light that is in us is darkness, how great is that darkness? To truly experience the blessedness of communion this morning requires one to be free from embracing darkness. As one observes the dark things Jesus was going through, one will also notice his love and his compassion for others throughout these dark experiences. I would like for us to think about that. Although it was so dark, and Jesus was walking through these dark moments, we'll look at them shortly, yet in that darkness and in that pain and agony, he would reach out to individuals. He would reach out in love and compassion. Number one, the first scene of darkness that I would like to look at is, and I just worded it this way in my notes, but the betrayer is revealed. The betrayer is revealed. And I would like if you could turn in your Bibles to some of these passages. John chapter 13. I like to read what the Bible says in John's account of the betrayer revealed. John chapter 13, at verses 21 to 30. Jesus had just gotten finished talking with his disciples. Before we read, somewhere and at some time, Judas began to waver in his loyalty to Jesus. Somewhere there was a wavering. And Judas was willing to accept money offered to him to betray his master. So did they offer him money? One account says that he went to them and he said, "What will you give me? And I will betray him to you," in my own words. Somewhere he began to waver. How is your loyalty to your master? Now let's read John 13, 21 to 30. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." This is the nucleus of disciples with Jesus. 11 of them have no clue. But two of them do. Well, one disciple and Jesus. Then the disciples looked upon on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoning to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Notice this scene of darkness. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. It was night physically. It was dark outside. He went out, and it was night. But spiritually, or situationally, if that's even a word, it was dark. Perhaps this is the first example of excommunication. I'm not sure. But he went out, and it was dark. Matthew 26, verses 14 to 16. I'm not going to turn there. There's where it says that Judas asked, "What will you give me?" This is the first scene of darkness. Exodus 21, verse 32 tells us that 30 shekels of silver was the price to be paid, or 30 shekels, I think it says there, was the price to be paid for a slave that had been gored by an ox. If you had a slave and my ox gored your slave and he died, I was to pay you 30 shekels. It was not considered to be a high price, but it was for a dead slave. 30 shekels. In Matthew 26, verses 24 to 25, Judas, I can't fathom this. But Judas is there with them. And Matthew tells us that Judas asked Jesus, he says, "Is it I?" And the response of Jesus is, "Thou saidst it." Which, if you study the meaning, it was like our expression that would be, that we would say, "You said it." Think of it. Judas knows it's him. "Master, is it I?" A broken relationship. A question to which Judas already knew the answer. Well, in verse 30 of chapter 13 of John, he then, having received the sop, went out, and it was night. Imagine the shock and grief that came upon the 11 as the realization of what just happened rested upon them. One of the inner circle, the one who carried the bag, the one who was the treasurer, went immediately out. I see him hopping up, going out the door, maybe it slammed behind him, and he was out. I want to remind you that the action of Judas at this point only revealed what had already taken place in his heart. Contrast the darkness in Judas's heart and the experience at this time with the love and compassion of Jesus for what followed. First experience of darkness. Following the departure of Judas, Jesus talks with the 11 prior to going to the garden. He talks of the way to the Father, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the importance of abiding in him and his love for them. He warns them of coming persecution. He prays for his own in John 17. John 13, verse 1 tells us that Jesus loved his own unto the end. The first scene of darkness, the betrayer revealed. Number two, the second scene of darkness is Jesus' betrayal and arrest. Matthew 26, verses 26 to 46. I'm going to turn there and read some of these verses. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Notice this scene. Jesus, now they leave the house. They leave where they are and they go to the garden. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. This is the beginning. It's dark in Garden of Gethsemane. The sun has gone down. It is dark. Jesus is praying. As I sat at my desk and I tried to study and figure out what Jesus must have been feeling, I couldn't. The Bible tells us that Jesus was sorrowful and very heavy. One of the gospel accounts tells us in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, tells us that Jesus was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. We cannot fathom the grief and distress Jesus must have experienced as he wrestled with what lay before him. Or what was he wrestling with? So deep thoughts. He knew all things, yet restrained himself and surrendered to his Father's will. Judas comes right in the heels of this with his cohort of men, and he betrays him, his friend, with a kiss. I say it's a dark moment. In John 18, we read that Jesus went forth to meet the band coming with lanterns and torches and weapons. The disciple who a few hours ago was with Jesus in the upper room is now, and the scripture tells us, he's standing with them, the enemies of Jesus, darkness, standing with them. Some time ago, I was at a funeral or viewing, and in the viewing line of the family was a man whose wife had left him, and she was with another man. And I was there when they came through the viewing line. And I couldn't imagine the pain that the first husband must have felt to see his wife come through the line with another man. Are you standing with Jesus, or are you standing with another partner? Judas was standing with them. Darkness. I'm looking at darkness, and I need to hasten on. But the moments of darkness in this garden scene, another moment of darkness was Peter. You know Peter, his energized spirit. He grabs a sword and takes a swing and gets Malchus's ear and cuts it off. I see it, a moment of darkness. Jesus graciously heals Malchus's ear. John 18 and verse 12, the band and the captain and officers took Jesus and bound him. The Lord God took him and bound him. and they led him away. Scene of darkness, all the disciples fled. They fled. Jesus was alone. Connecting with last Sunday's message of the I Am's, we will note, just a side note, we will note that in this garden scene, when they came and Jesus, they asked them who they're seeking, and they say, "We're seeking Jesus of Nazareth," and he says, "I am he," and they fall over backwards. The I Am, the power of the I Am. Shouldn't these men known that they're working with supernatural power? How brazen they must have been. Scene of darkness. The third scene of darkness that I would like to look at is the trial of Jesus. While Jerusalem was asleep, Jesus was arrested and subjected to the unkind, unjust hand of a merciless group of religious leaders and Roman soldiers. Keep in mind, there were people who were asleep. This was happening at night. Darkness. I would like to read for you what I gleaned in study. This trial was unfair. There were illegal things happening. We can hardly connect with the energized spirit of animosity and evil and hatred towards Jesus. I'd like to read something to you. The trials before Jewish authorities, the religious trials, showed the degree to which the Jewish leaders hated him, Jesus, because they carelessly disregarded many of their own laws. There were several illegal things involved in these trials from the perspective of Jewish law. I didn't research each one of these, but I'm taking it, and you correct me, but this is how I've taken it to be true. No trial was to be held during feast time. Each member of the court was to vote individually to convict or acquit, but Jesus was convicted by acclamation. If the death penalty was given, a night must pass before the sentence was carried out. However, only a few hours passed before Jesus was placed on the cross. The Jews had no authority to execute anyone. No trial was to be held at night, but this trial was held before dawn. I'm not sure about that one exactly. I know there was trials happening, but the actual sentencing, I think, happened in the daytime. The accused was to be given counsel or representation, but Jesus had none. The accused was not to be asked self-incriminating questions, but Jesus was asked if he was the Christ. The crowds called for Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be crucified. Pilate gave Jesus to their will. He handed him over. Well, darkness, scenes of darkness. It was during this dark time that Peter denies Jesus. He says, "I do not know the man." Think with me, this hour of darkness, during the night. I don't know how it is with you, but when midnight comes and even before, I am really starting to not do well. Emotionally, really. I want my bed. I could think better in the morning. But this is at night, progressing through. Jesus, Peter is there. And Jesus knows this. There's Peter. And Peter says, I don't know the man. And then he's asked again. And he begins to curse and to swear. I don't know him. Your relationship with Jesus today. Are there situations where you are, I don't know to be identified. I don't know him. This communion this morning is all about identity and communion with knowing Jesus and being his follower. Identifying with. It is during this dark time that Jesus is subjected to being spit upon, hit with the palms of the hand. Wham! Do you talk to the high priest like that? He is hit with their fists. They play a game. They blindfold him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Well, this happened later, I think, after his time with Pilate. But talking about the darkness. He is mocked. They put a robe on him. They crown him with thorns. They braid a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they bow the knee before him. They bow down before him. Mockery. They take the reed that they've given to him. And they take the reed and they hit him on the head. Think about that with a crown of thorns on your head. And then somebody hitting you on the head. I'm condensing this section. So he went to Pilate. He went to Herod. It is now daytime. Pilate, in my own words, tries to persuade them that he finds no fault in this man. Pilate's wife says, "Be careful. I had a dream about this man." And Pilate, in my own words, I believe, thinks that if he scourges Jesus, maybe that'll work. But that doesn't work. They yell and they say, "Crucify him." They scourge him. They beat him with a scourge. Why? Isaiah 53 and verse 5 tells us, "He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes," we can be here this morning, "with his stripes we are healed." Darkness. The fourth darkness, the darkness of the crucifixion. Following the declaration of Pilate that he finds no fault in this man, in John 19 and verse 39, he gives in to the angry mob, crying, "Crucify him, crucify him," and Jesus is led away to be crucified. It is now daytime. I want to remind us that not all were enemies of Jesus. Luke 23, 27, you can read it. "There was a crowd following him, a multitude of people followed Jesus, wailing and lamenting." There were women that were in the crowd, they were crying and lamenting what was happening. During the night, Jesus is being led away. How must have he looked? Someone else is bearing his cross. They get to Golgotha. At some point, Jesus needed to lie down, or somehow they had to drive the nails through his hands and through his feet into the wooden cross. He subjects himself. Can you hear the hammer? He's hanging on the cross. The thief on one side rails on him. "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Darkness covers the land. From noon to 3 p.m. Was this a forecast darkness by the weather people forecasting it for days and months on ahead, like we have now when there's a lunar eclipse? I don't know. I believe that this was supernatural darkness. How that was, we don't know. But there was darkness for 3 hours. Darkness. What does this mean for us on this day of remembrance of our Lord's death? Just simply, Jesus bore the pain and suffering to fulfill the will of his Father. He was obedient unto death. That's one of them. He fulfilled the will of his Father. He asked his Father, if it's possible, can this pass from me? Not my will, but thine be done. I guess Jesus received the answer that we do sometimes, that you need to walk through it. I'm not going to take it away. Number two, Jesus' death paid the ransom for man's sin. And through this payment, man can receive everlasting life. We do not have to be subject to everlasting death, but we can receive forgiveness from sin. Through the sinless sacrifice of Jesus, man can find forgiveness of sin and peace from guilt and a renewed relationship with God. I want to conclude with reading to you Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. As I think of what Jesus, the work of Jesus, his willingness to come, his willingness to fulfill the Father's will, we hardly can grasp the impacts of that. Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. The blessedness of communion is not simply in being here and participating in the physical aspects of communion. The blessedness of communion is felt as we ponder the intense love of a righteous, holy, holy, holy God in sending his only begotten Son to die for my sin, so I do not need to bear the penalty of everlasting death. May God bless us as we contrast the wondrous light that has been given to us through the darkness of the walk and journey that Jesus went through. May God bless us as we partake of communion.